Go on, ring us.
Well, somebody who's been to a few airports over the course of his career as a retired A380 captain is James Nixon. James, good afternoon.
G'day, Tony. They say you're ringing to talk about aeroplanes.
Well, I know. That's 2 days in a row. So, look, people, I'll cop an earful when I get home from the missus. Don't worry about that. You've seen a lot of airports. What works in an airport and what doesn't? What could we do at Melbourne Airport to make it as good as anywhere else?
Well, number one, all airports and hospitals around the world are primarily doing their job, but mainly building sites.
Yeah.
So there's no way you can have all these fantastic things in airports unless you build them there. Somehow they've got to get the baggage system in and change it, and it's done by building. The same with now they're working on the front of house, so we're going to see some big changes coming through. $4,500 million.
Yeah.
$4.5 billion is going to be spent. And what it's going to be doing for us, the passengers, is that we're going to have to walk further, which is good for your deep vein thrombosis, because
yeah.
Now you're going to walk into the terminal about halfway through the car park and walk and walk and walk like you do at every other airport, which is about standard around the world. We're just joining the world.
All right. It's so good of them to think of our step count. It is really insane just how many Ks you can cover in a terminal these days. So in terms of what facilities, if I were to put you on the spot, because you've seen a lot of big airports in your time flying a very big plane, what works? If you were to give the people at Melbourne Airport for this redevelopment an airport to emulate, which one would it be?
Dubai, and they're doing exactly what's in Dubai.
Yep.
They're implementing the baggage system now for Dubai so that you can just get people in, check in whenever they want to. And that may mean, you know, if you're sick of your mother-in-law, getting to the airport 3 hours earlier and pretending that you got the time wrong.
Yeah.
So that you can check in early. Your bags will then go into a holding area for that flight so that you don't have to wait for them to check in. As such, you can just check in at any time.
Yeah.
Flights to the United States might be a bit different because when you check in, you're actually doing part of your immigration border force service to the United States happens at the check-in counter when you first put your passport on the thing there. So that may have a bit of a difference for United States flights. But most flights, you'll be able to book in anytime you feel like going to the airport and spending a few extra hours out there. Spending money in the shopping centre.
Yeah.
But from the crew's perspective, what we need to do when you're leaving, you've got to be able to buy a packet of clinkers, because if you give clinkers to the cabin crew, they get better service in the flight deck. That's one thing that we do leaving Melbourne.
Yep.
Coming home, the most important thing is the choke points in airports. And the choke points for aircrew after you finally get off the airplane after doing all this long flying and landing in the sunshine when your eyes are, it feels like you're landing with your sand in your eyes as you come in. Then walking through the airport, the passport control is the first one. In Melbourne Airport, they have a nice low roof in the passport control so that five airplane loads of passengers are breathing the same air.
Oh, no.
It's only 1 foot higher than your head.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's one thing that really annoys us coming into Melbourne. It's the only place that does that. You know, go to Singapore, have a look, see how it's done properly.
Yeah, it's a cathedral.
Then waiting for your baggage. Having all these fantastic baggage carousels is great, but you've got to get people to get the bags off the plane. And in Melbourne and Sydney are the two places in the world where they only operate one or two baggage carousels early in the morning when all the flights arrive. You want to have them all running, which means spending huge money behind the scenes on getting people to get those bags out of the planes.
Yeah.
You want containerized baggage, so that means Airbuses and big wide-body jets use containerized packaging, which gets the bags out early. But like 737s, they load individual bags up the ramp like the old days.
Yeah.
Takes a long time. You want to get rid of that choke point. Then the next one is the Border Force quarantine people, where they look at you and see, oh, that person looks like they've got a dead husky in their bag. So they're going to go left and the rest of you can go right. So that's the great selection that happens at 6:30 in the morning. And if one of your cabin crew has brought food in the bags, then you're going to sit in the bus and wait for hours for them to get through the line, which brings you to waiting for the bus. Waiting for the bus is fantastic. It's bracing. Those of us who are from Melbourne love standing out there at 5 degrees in the morning in our uniforms, getting nice and fresh after breathing aeroplane air for so many hours. But it's a pain in the neck for people who don't like it. So getting buses in and out means getting cars in and out. And I think they're doing a fantastic job now where they're trying to get people to drop off and pick up more efficiently.
That is just as comprehensive a list as Melbourne Airport would ever need. From James Nixon, retired A380 captain, thank you for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure.
James, always great to chat.